Hello, everyone. Bruce Edwin here with HollywoodSentinel.com, and I'm speaking today with the screen actor legend Mel Novak. Mel, how are you today, sir?
Hey, Bruce. Thank you for having me. I always enjoy talking to you.
Well, I appreciate that, Mel, and thank you. Thanks for being here. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Mel. I've known you for years and just got a lot of fondness and respect for you. Absolutely. Now, when I met you, I had the pleasure to meet you over at the, I believe it was the Halo Awards. And, I knew that I had heard of your name. I knew who you were. You were a recognized actor. You had fought opposite Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris, if I'm not mistaken, and just many more. And when we met, you know, we sat at the same table. It was so cool. And I found out at the time you're also an ordained minister.
So, in movies, I play villains, but in real life, I have a Skid Row prison ministry. 36 years in Skid Row, which is a prison without bars, and 34 years in prisons all over the country. I just came back from Pelican Bay Penitentiary, which is the worst one in the country. I was there June 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And, they're all packed. You know, choices people make.
Well, Mel, that's incredible. Now, I'll admit, when you first told me this, and I learned about the ordained minister part, I thought, you know, that's cool. My grandfather was an ordained minister and led a church, number of churches for many years. So I definitely had, you know, have love and respect for him. So I respected that, thought it was interesting, cool, but it didn't sink in. I'm like, so many people in Hollywood, and correct me if you agree or not, but a lot of people try to, you know, do charitable stuff, and it's really just for their own glory. But it later dawned on me that this is real to you. This is not just some, you know, PR stunt. I mean, you are a prison minister. You minister in prisons. And when that dawned on me, you know, you tell people that, Mel, or I tell, you know, people that, and it's like, it's so beyond a person's imagination at some point, not only just to, you know, the folks who are in a place like that, but you actually go in there.
Oh, yes. I've been to, New Jersey, he's a level 4 penitentiary, which is a worst in a world. New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, Florida, Alabama, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, Washington, Oregon.
My gosh.
And I have to sign a paper if I'm taken hostage. They don't make deals. There's no deputies in the service.
Wow.
Me and the inmates. And I've done over 90,000 services since I started.
Over 90,000.
I've never gotten a paycheck. In fact, my nonprofit corporation owes me well over $50,000.
Wow.
But it's necessary because people don't want to go. I was at Skid Row Tuesday. That's yesterday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and you can see all the brokenness, all the walking wounded, and the ones that decided they're going to do drugs, and I'm just grateful I never did drugs and I never drank, and my whole life would have changed.
Well, that's incredible. I mean, Mel, there's so much I want to ask you about, talk with you about. It's hard to even know where to begin, but take us back, if you will, maybe just to the beginning. For those that are new to your career, new to your acting work, which I highly suggest folks check out Mel's work. We'll put a link to his bio and resume here, but what started you out in Hollywood, and tell us a bit about you and how you began.
Why do you come to Hollywood to be an actor or a minister?
Okay.
When I got out of high school, I had 60 scholarships for football, all the major universities.
60.
Like all the bowl games that were on this in January, I had scholarships to every one of them. Yeah, there were 60.
Wow.
Scholarships in basketball, track, Well, then I signed a pro baseball contract with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and a year and a half later, I was a cripple. I had a massive rotator cuff tear, and I got butchered. I got an 18-inch scar there.
How did that happen?
Well, throwing. They misdiagnosed it. It was a massive rotator cuff tear, and today they know how to do it a lot better than then.
Yeah.
So I just got tired of people saying, you should have done this, you should have done that, you'd have been a football star. So I left. I had to leave that area.
Yeah.
And I was working in an insurance company, and one of the gals says, you know, you look great in clothes. My cousin's a modeling agent. Would you want to meet her? Sure.
Yeah.
And that's where it started. And I did modeling, and then I went to some of them wanted to go to acting school. And I had some really good acting schools. Screen Actors Studio, Michael Payton, Stacey Harris, Estelle Harmon, Corey Allen. So I really learned well, and I learned camera technique. And then I was doing television, and I had a real good villain role in The Mannix.
Okay.
And so I was starting to work out with martial arts, and then I get an interview with Robert Klaus on Black Belt Jones, which is the third biggest moneymaker that year. It was a martial arts movie, and I went to read. I wore a gangster outfit, a gangster hat, and my character's name was Blue Eyes, and I have Blue Eyes.
Yeah.
And his crazy thing was that after the first day of shooting, I did really well. And the next day, someone says, Mel Novak, yo, producer and director want to see you right now. You got to hurry up. And I thought, oh, man. So I went in and I said, did I do something wrong? They says, no, you did everything right.
Wow.
Your partner can't handle dialogue. I don't know if he can give you his dialogue. I should give me all the dialogue you want. I end up with an incredible role in Black Belt Jones. Then two-thirds through, Robert Klaus, the director who directed Enter the Dragon with Bruce Lee, he said, I'm going to take you to Hong Kong to do Game of Death.
Wow.
I'm going to have you play a hitman named Stick. Stick the Assassin.
Yeah.
And he left my fight in Black Belt Jones because I was an athlete and I always hung out with stunt people.
Yeah.
And you had stunt people, you had karate people. I was the only one that he left in slow motion. It was so real. Huh. And it seemed like everybody in the world was seeing Game of Death.
Right.
Movie. I mean, even in the prisons, there was a guy who, from old Folsom, who killed 22 child molesters in 20 years.
Wow.
He came to county jail. The only reason he came to the service because the guy told him, well, he fought Bruce Lee. He was a Bruce Lee fan.
Yeah.
So that's how it all started.
Well, that's amazing. There's so much on that. So real quickly, please confirm with me. What acting technique did you say you learned?
The thing is, what do I want? Why do I want it? How am I going to get it? And I always made a background biography on my characters, which made it very interesting.
Yeah.
And of course, I got to know people who were lifers, who murdered people, and so I picked their brain.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you did. Pardon me.
See, you know, like, the camera technique I learned from Stacey Harris really did well because cinematographers loved that, and the directors. Plus, I did my own fights and stunts in almost every movie.
Yeah.
Which, so they didn't have to call cut, get a stand-in or whatever. And I made it my business to do what I was supposed to, but I also had a side job.
Okay.
I worked as a claims adjuster.
Right.
And I had a free car. And
that helps.
He is, you know, when people come out here, then they don't have a job, they're on the street, and they're starving, and too much pressure.
Yes.
So You got to do it the right way.
Exactly, and you didn't have that. So you did character roadmaps on your characters and really got into their heads. And you had this experience with these characters you played. That's great. Interesting. Now, martial arts, tell me about that a minute. What got you into training in martial arts, and what did you study and why?
Well, I was like a mongrel. I learned a lot from a lot of different ones. Pat Johnson, you know, who did a lot of stunt coordinating, and he taught me. And Sonny Barnes, who was in Black Belt Jones, you know, all those guys. Bob Wall, I worked with him in Hong Kong. So what I did was I learned to do really well to make the hero. Because I died 23 times in the movies. Huh. And this is what, I got a good reputation. I was always on time. I always knew my lines, and I never screwed around with drugs or alcohol.
That's
huge in Hollywood.
Yeah, that's unusual.
Huh. I did a movie with Yul Brynner and Max von Sydow. I'm not going to give a name, but I mean, this guy was drinking vodka for the whole day.
Wow.
And you know, that's just not cool.
No, you have to keep it together. So you trained in karate or kung fu or what?
Yeah, mostly martial arts.
So all different styles.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So that it always fit the character for the specific film.
Yeah.
And, I did two films with Chuck Norris and... Steve McQueen also was good in martial arts, and he's a great guy. I loved him. He really liked me because he spent time as a kid, young kid, in juvenile.
Oh, wow.
And he wasn't big on people in Hollywood. He didn't take any crap from anybody.
That's good.
He really respected me for what I did.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Well, obviously, he's such a legend, as is Chuck Norris and Bruce Lee. What was it like working with them? What are some memories you can share with our listeners?
Well, I'm not a big Chuck Norris fan.
Yeah.
Bruce Lee was incredible. No one like him, never has been, never will be. He was a perfectionist, though, so
yeah.
No matter what, you know, he had to get better, better, better. And, I met him on Green Hornet.
Wow.
And he kept staring at me. I says, what? He says, you have a villain's face. I said, I knew that.
He told you that?
He said, I have a villain's face. And I said, little did he know, I know that I was going to be in his last movie playing the main villain.
Wow.
Yeah. But he was like lightning and... I mean, so dedicated. You know, when David Carradine did that TV series, Kung Fu.
I loved it, yes.
That should have been Bruce Lee.
Right.
I mean, he was all set, but then they went someone with a different name or whatever, and I remember he was really bummed out about that.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah. Huh.
Wow. So it was. He was a perfectionist, and what we see and hear about is true about his. Just he was a good person. You got the sense.
Yeah, I liked him. You know, those people that I had a great relationship. I would never talk. It's like Jerry Lewis. A lot of people in the industry didn't like Jerry Lewis. He was great to me. I always spoke highly of him, and someone would say, well, you're the only one. I don't care.
Yeah.
He was nice to me, good to me, and so I don't like the negative talk and critical stuff. You got a lot of jealous people in the industry.
Well, that's true.
My manager told me that there was a guy who I thought was really a friend of mine, and I'm going to be doing this big film in Detroit, and so my manager told me it's also in Variety.
Yeah,
and this guy was supposed to be my friend. So what?
Right.
Well, he hasn't been working. But with someone, you know, someone that I know that I like, they get a job. Great. I'm happy for them.
Sure.
there's no need to do this kind of stuff, and you see so much of it.
Oh, I know. I know exactly. I've certainly dealt with that, and, you know, I could tell stories, and I know you can, but so you came into Hollywood, you came and basically became a sports star, and then gradually worked your way into modeling and acting, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Okay.
How I got into ministry, I was invited to the Union Rescue Mission 36 years ago, Easter Sunday, as a celebrity.
Okay.
And the CEO saw me talking to about 25 street people, and they were hanging on every word, and I have a good memory, and I use a lot of scripture to encourage, edify, and uplift. And he says, "You got to do a service." I said, "Sure." And it's the LA mission around here, Fred Georgia mission. And I got into prison ministry because at LA County Jail, the chaplain was a big Bruce Lee fan.
Oh, wow.
One of the inmates who left there, he's in a spiritual growth program at the Union Rescue Mission, called the chaplain and said, "You're not going to believe this. Stick the Assassin is preaching down here." So that's where it all started.
Well, that's amazing. And that's funny, you know, when you mention, it remind me that your character's name, that the TV show on Netflix, Defenders and Daredevil has got the name Stick that they use in their show, and that's Marvel, I guess, Stan Lee creation. But that's interesting, and of course it's got martial arts in it. But go figure.
Do you remember that big party you took me up? I think Lionel Richie owned that house.
Yes. Yes.
And I was standing. I was dressed to the teeth, two-tone shoes. I had a custom-made pinstripe suit.
You always are, Mel. Yes.
Yeah, this elderly gentleman came over and said, "My wife wanted to know who are you." And that was Mel Novak. Turned out that was Stan Lee that was there.
Wow.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that was a good party.
Joe Pesci came over.
Yes, yeah.
He said, "Do you look like a half a million dollars?" Yeah, that was a good party.
Yeah, it's great. That was. I'm glad you liked that. Yeah, I can picture Joe saying that. That's funny.
Oh, yeah, but he said the whole word, you know.
Yeah.
Like he did in Goodfellas.
Exactly. Great.
Yeah, I've gotten four Martial Arts Hall of Fame awards. I've gotten three Living Legend awards. If you get one, it's prestigious.
Wow.
And in November, I got the fourth Martial Arts Hall of Fame award and the third Living Legend award. And so when I went up to get my awards, the MC was saying, "Oh, you're a legend, you're this, you're all of 50 movies." And he said, "What's your favorite award?" And there were 300 people there, and I told him, "Well, I was a single dad, I raised two daughters, and I was voted Mother of the Year at the Brownies." The place went into bedlam. They were clapping.
Yeah.
So,
that's great.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, that makes sense. I mean, that's obviously important. Can't get much more important than that. Being a parent and just being a role model. Speaking of role models, and there's so much I want to talk with you about, Mel, but what you were saying, what got you into prison ministry, what made you become a minister? What led to that path?
Well, I've had miracles in my life. Like, I had 10 throat surgeries in 10 years, from 18 to 28. They were going to amputate my leg when I was 7 years old. My mother wouldn't let them. She prayed. So I had a background. I was born and raised a Serbian Orthodox. My real name is Milan Mrjenovic. And it's a calling, Bruce. I mean, everybody has a calling. And it tells you in the Bible. And I knew once I was at that Union Rescue Mission, all these other places are contacting me. Then I'm in prison ministry. And that was it. I knew that this is what God wanted me to do. You know, in real life, I should have died 7 times, Bruce.
Wow.
I had 28 surgeries. I was crippled for 5 years from pro ball when I got out of school. Had a wife log out of a marriage. I've had a lot of challenges in life.
Yeah.
And, you know, my faith got me through them.
Sure.
And, it's amazing when you think about it. I'm a cancer survivor.
Amazing.
I did not take chemo or radiation.
Wow.
I would have given my mother.
Yeah.
I will pray for somebody and I will support them if they do it, but I chose not to. Everybody has a choice.
It's amazing.
And I still have my prostate, and I was a dead man walking. My PSA was 34. So
you're a survivor in many ways, and this has strengthened your faith, and this pretty much led to your being ordained.
Yeah, and then, I did those movies with Bruce Lee and Joe Brenner and all Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
I'm still working. I was starring in co-starring roles. In fact, on Amazon Prime, it's a movie I had the main role, my billings above the title, called Syndicate Smasher.
Yes.
In fact, I invited you to the premiere where we had the screening.
Yeah, I saw that. That was a good one. Well, Mel, that's I don't know when there's no one else like you, and that's it's an incredible thing. So just what you do and have done, it's multiple lifetimes full of work that you've achieved. So it's very, very cool, very commendable. There's so much, Mel, I thank you. I want to ask, further, but I don't want to take up too much of your time today.
No problem. You're my friend. So as much time as you want, I'm here.
Well, thank you,
but
Mel.
For the rest of the day, I'm not going to, if there are days I have to rest.
I hear you. Well,
when you're in dark places in Skid Row and prisons, there's a lot of sapping, draining spirits in there. So today is a time where I just have to rest. And so anytime you want, that's okay.
Well, sounds good, Mel. I'd love to have you back with us. Listeners, go to Mel's website, check out his work, and explore that. Mel Novak, MelNovak. Mel, there's just kind of closing here, and I'd love to have you back for a second part, if you will.
Sure.
Thank you. What is some advice you can give to, they're young people, they're all ages, kids, adults, desperate to come to Hollywood, that are trying to be, so-called discovered or a star, or, do a fraction of what you've done. What is your advice to them?
Well, first of all, be sure that you have, if you're coming from another state, or if you get out of school, make sure you have enough money for rent for at least 9 months to a year, for food, for Uber. You get into a good acting school, because there are some who they're just there to take your money.
Right.
I used to give private acting lessons, and that's important. That's the key. Because you can't afford to not have a place to stay. The pressure will eat you up.
Right.
And get used to rejection, because a lot of times people don't know what they want. They are even looking to hire.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you to learn cold reading. It's crucial.
Mm-hmm.
Go get a Bible and read it out loud where someone in the other room thinks you're just talking.
Yeah.
And you learn about camera technique, and you give yourself 3 years and maybe maximum 5 years. If nothing's happening there, then you need to go to something else, because it's a tough business. Like, music is a tough business.
Right.
But, I always tell people, I've said 300,000 or 3,000 times to people, Luke 18:1 said, don't give up, keep on praying.
Yeah, it's good.
God first in your life, and watch what He'll do.
That's great.
Don't let somebody tear your confidence to shreds.
Yes, that's so important. I've seen that. Seen that again and again.
Yeah, I was in Corey Allen's. He was the one with James Dean. Did that movie where his car went over the cliff. Very good actor, but he was excellent. acting coach.
Oh, yeah, Rebel Without a Cause.
I said to him, how long have you been doing this? Do you have your SAG card? No, not yet, but it's coming soon. And the girl said, well, he's been going to classes for 20 years. He still doesn't have a SAG card. And the guy started crying. He got so angry. But see, that's like... You're just wasting your life. Life is short.
Yeah.
And you got to know, is this what I'm really supposed to be? Because I even had a guy in a penitentiary, a big dude. He had four front teeth missing, and he goes, hi, how could I be a movie star? And I says, well, you got to get out of here first, bro.
Exactly.
Why do you want to be a movie star? Why don't you be an actor? He said, I want success and prosperity. And so on, Joshua 1:8. But see, people, you know, they think, if I could just be a star, I'm going to be okay. It takes more than that.
Right.
You know, life is tough, and we do battling spiritual warfare that goes on. And people need to say, okay, is this what I'm supposed to do? So you give yourself 3 years, maximum 5 years. That's what I've always told people.
Yeah.
And, so that's a key, though, is to practice, you know, your reading and find out about what you do with characters and the time that you're in. Because I use, in fact, the last three movies I did, I used my own custom-made suits and two-tone shoes, which increased the production value.
Exactly.
You know, loved it. I think in a wardrobe world, I was
saved them on
because
that.
Right. They never look good. But you know, you gotta just don't have your eyes up there in the sky. You just gotta focus on who you are and what you are. You find out about yourself. You have wounds from the past, from as a child. You know, dig into things where you can get healed, and there's so many aspects of it. And boy, you know, the rejection, and a lot of people have a hard time handling it. And you can't take it personal.
Well, that's great advice, Mel. That's absolutely solid, great advice, and I urge anyone to follow that. Well, Mel, I hope to have you back here soon. I thank you for your time. And
okay, anytime, Bruce.
Listeners, this has been Mel Novak, Hollywood legend, acted opposite so many stars, Bruce Lee and on. Mel, thank you so much for being with us here. MelNovak.com, folks. HollywoodSentinel.com. Thank you, Mel, again.
Okay, bye-bye.
Goodbye.